Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome. This is me, Jonathan Alexander. I'm here to host my show, Wife Blast of Happiness. Today, we have an interesting guest, a former Playboy model, Terry Lynn Doss. You there, Terry?
You're so funny. Hi, Donnie. How are you, my friend?
Doing good. You know, when were you in Playboy?
What?
When were you in Playboy?
I was in Playboy. I was a centerfold Miss July 1988, a long time ago, 20 years ago, actually, this year. God, I
really?
Yes, 20 years ago. I didn't realize it was 20 years, and somebody had sent me a message on MySpace, and it was kind of like a happy anniversary thing, and I thought, oh, my God, thanks for reminding me how old I am. Yeah, I just turned 43, so I was 23 when I posed for Playboy.
And
I also did two covers that year as well. So I got really lucky because that was very rare back in the day.
I think, yeah, didn't you do like one cover where you were standing over some college books?
Yes, I was, what month was that? I don't even know. It was on the cover of October of 88. October of 88 and March of 88. So I actually shot my covers before I became a centerfold. They flew me out there, and, you know, they shoot a lot of covers, but they don't always get accepted. So it was like two covers and then my centerfold. So it was really, God, it was so cool. That was a great year.
What made you decide to do Playboy? I know that women who do Playboy do it for different reasons. Some do it because they feel the human body is a beautiful thing. Others do it for modeling reasons. What are yours?
Wait, say that again. What were some of the reasons you were given?
How some do it because they feel the human body is a beautiful thing. Others do it for modeling reasons. I mean, what were yours?
First of all, for me personally, I don't think a girl really. Well, I guess they do. Why did I do it? Well, I did it because they accepted, because they offered it to me, and it's something that is a historical. You know, it's like it was. Wow, really? But in terms of how I kind of. I didn't really say, oh, I'm going to go and be a centerfold. I had actually done a shoot. I did a lot of print work, bathing suit stuff for years, and Hawaiian Tropic and, you know, different pageants and stuff. And anyway, my first big gig was, there was a magazine called Eugenia, which was a very big swimsuit company at the time, Swimwear Illustrated. And they flew me to Hawaii, and I actually, how I got that job was I submitted my pictures to them, and they accepted me, and the next thing I knew, I was in Hawaii with two playmates, and one was Devin Navasquez, she was the Star Search spokesmodel winner, the big $100,000, it's a pretty big deal, and Terry Weigel, and I was like, oh my gosh, that's Devin Navasquez. I mean, it just was, I was kind of not starstruck, but, you know, I was a little intimidated and I was very quiet and I was just kind of getting my feet wet in the business. And we were on the plane and Terry had just done a cover and she was just, you know, kind of looking at it, and Devin had her issue. And the next thing I knew, we had exchanged numbers anyway. Terry had called me one day and said, hey, let's go have lunch. So the next thing I knew, she was taking me to the Playboy office. She said she had to go pick something up. Well, little did I know, the little that she knew about me, which was that, you know, I wasn't real confident, contrary to what a lot of people may think about models, you know, not always are we what other people perceive us to be. And she kind of, I think, knew that it was, I was like, wow, and awe of it. But anyway, she was bringing me in there to introduce me to them. And she didn't have to pick anything up. And the next thing I knew, they asked me if I would be interested in testing. And I just was like, what, me? are you serious? You know. And, of course, you walk into the Playboy building, and they've got all the beautiful pictures all blown up like life-size of all the girls, and it's beautiful there. And Hef was actually there that day, and I was shaking in my shoes. And I got to meet him. I had no idea. I mean, I was just like, oh, my God. I got to go. I've got no makeup on, you know. So she really caught me off guard. And so Marilyn Grabowski said, we would like to test you. Have you ever thought about being a centerfold? And I said, are you serious? I said, really? And so anyway, I was in shock. And I went home, and I told my boyfriend, who was a big actor on a soap opera, and I said, Playboy wants me to test. Johnny, I was so surprised. I never, ever thought that I could ever be Playmate potential because it just was a really big deal. Mm-hmm. So the next thing I knew, well, he, of course, broke up with me because he told me that if I wanted to be taken seriously in Hollywood, that there was no way I would ever work. And I wanted to be an actress like everybody else that comes to L.A., and I had done a couple commercials, and I just thought, I'm going to do this. I'm going to test, and I didn't think I'd get it, but I thought, I'm going to really try to do this. So anyway, the next thing I knew, I went in, and I did some Polaroids, and that very day, they said, okay, are you comfortable? Do you have a couple hours? And I said, sure, and the next thing I knew, I was shooting film. I was in hair and makeup, and they started doing pictures, and it just happened very quickly, and it was random. That's really the best way to describe it. I mean, Reader's Digest version, it was just kind of like very random. And
by the way, not to cut you off, but we have a call, or do you want to take a call?
Sure, I'll take all the calls.
All right, okay. Caller, you on the air?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Who's your favorite porn star?
I don't know who's going to call me. I never know. Who is this?
Who's your favorite porn star?
Who's my favorite porn star? Oh, no, you guys.
Good.
How are you?
I'm good. We're sitting
Would
in the
you
room.
Like to introduce yourself? You're speaking with my friend Johnny. We're on the radio.
You can introduce me. I'm the mystery guest.
Da 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 da. Who do we have calling us this evening, Mr. Pornstar?
It's Nick and Monty.
Johnny, this is my friend Nick.
Oh, you mean there's two of you?
Yeah, it's her ex Monty and me. We're up in
my ex husband and
oh.
Nick is a big porn. He's a big star. Let's put it that way, in his own
mm-hmm.
right, and he's okay. A handsome guy.
Thanks, baby. What are you doing?
I'm doing this radio show. It's so much fun. You've done a lot of radio.
Yeah, I do some radio. Usually, I'm not even on, and they're doing radio on me.
I know, right? Anyway, this is my friend Nick, and a lot of people might know who you are. From, the adult entertainment business.
It seemed that we got two reactions last night. There were the people who were skeptical, and then there were the people who wanted to hang out with us.
Oh, my gosh. He's with my ex-husband right now. They're at, did you guys go to Nikki Hilton's birthday party?
Tonight.
Yeah, Nikki Hilton is my ex-husband's niece, so they're partying up in Vegas. Thanks for calling, you guys.
It's okay. Do you want to talk to your old man?
No. I'll see him later.
Okay, you'll see him later. Well, I just called in to say hello. We're having a good time, and you have a great show.
Thank you so much.
You guys have fun.
Thanks for calling.
Monty said I'm your future ex-boyfriend.
Oh, you mean my future ex-husband?
Yeah, is that what you said? Are you crazy?
You guys have fun.
All right, we'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.
That was Nick Manning. I don't watch porn, but
I guess he's a big adult film star. Nick Hilton.
What?
Nick Hilton. Is that related? Is that in the Hilton family?
Yes, the father of my children, who was my husband.
Yes.
His ex-wife before me. Her name is Kim Richards, and Paris and Nikki Hilton are his nieces, my ex-husband's nieces. So he goes to all the Hollywood events and the big, you know, all the parties and all that.
Paris and Nikki Hilton are your ex-husband's nieces?
Yes. So my daughter, it's their cousin. It's my daughter's cousin, so.
Okay.
Yeah, actually, little Paris there took my daughter to the Playboy Mansion, one of the Playboy Mansion parties when she was only 14, and I wasn't real pleased with that, so.
yeah, I can understand that. Yeah, that would be bad.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, my God, you're 14 and Paris Hilton wants to take you out to a party. Are you kidding? You think you're not going to go? And then to go to the Playboy Mansion? I didn't even go to that party. That's crazy. That's kind of like a little Drew Barrymore story. I could get myself in trouble. I probably shouldn't have said that. Oh, well, that's the past.
I mean,
no more parties for her at the Playboy Mansion, though.
But, you know, before the call, you said that you did it because it just sort of happened. It was an unexpected thing.
Well, I did it because it was an opportunity that how could anybody pass that up? I mean, Playboy to me is, you know, I grew up with older brothers. I grew up with, I mean, I dated a mechanic for years. So I used to see all the Snap-on tool calendars and all the posters and, you know, I used to see all the Playboys, of course, with brothers. You see Playboys under the bed, and I used to always look for them because I used to look at these girls and go, oh, my gosh. I mean, I'm not a lesbian, and I'm not, you know, I don't have anything against people that swing that way, but I just used to just admire them and just think, oh, they're so beautiful. And it was so, it was more artistic back then, and it was just very pretty pictures, and it, you know, I mean, it just was something that I just always looked up to, you know, these beautiful girls, and wanting, you know, as being an aspiring model, which I was always told I could never do because I wasn't tall enough, I just thought, wow. And so when I was given that opportunity, I just said, of course. I mean, what an honor. So it just was something that, you know, I'm a part of history, and it doesn't define who I am as a person, you know, but they're pictures that, you know, I'll never forget the experience. It really was wonderful.
It is. Were you emotional when you got the centerfold?
What you mean when it came out, or oh, you mean when they told me that I was accepted?
Yes.
Yeah, I was. I think I was more in shock than anything because I knew that. I mean, I started shooting, like, fast, boom, boom, boom. And the next thing I knew, sometimes it takes, like, a year for your issue to come out. And the cover thing was a big enough deal because they approached me about the covers first. And when I got the covers, I was like, oh, my God, I'm going to be on the cover of Playboy? That was, I think, a bigger deal for me. And then when I found out I was going to be inside the magazine, I thought, uh-oh, I got to take my clothes off. I think I need to speak to my parents. And I really didn't tell anybody except my mom, and she was so excited. I mean, she had that Playboy issue on her coffee table, Johnny, for like years. And I
so this brings to my next question.
Yeah.
In the beginning, were the people around you supportive of you doing Playboy, and how did they react?
No. First of all, I really didn't tell anybody because I just, you don't go around saying, oh, I'm going to be in Playboy, but my boyfriend broke up with me.
Yeah, it's really not a, it's not like a, you know, one of those stickers you put on your car, father
no,
of an honor student.
No, especially in
I mean,
the
you
business.
Don't put a finger on your car that says, I've done Playboy.
Yeah, and I wasn't going to call all my family back in the Midwest. You know, they live in little towns, and no. But
that would be something if a cop ever pulled you over, you know.
Oh.
He rolls up the window, you see a little bunny anagram on the
I know, right? Well, I told my mom and my mom was ecstatic. But in the on the business end, you know, the business part of Terry, who wanted to be an actress, people were not supportive. I lost my boyfriend. My agent dropped me, or he was my manager. He said, you know, I just can't represent you. This is just, you know, and I just thought, F off. Okay, fine. You know what? You watch me. And I got a new agent, and I had Playboy behind me, and I landed that Snap-on tool calendar. I landed everything that I grew up seeing going, I would love to be that. I did it, and it was just kind of like, you know, it was cool. And the people that supported me, it was kind of like, if you support me, great. If you don't, okay, that's your opinion. But my mom was very supportive, and my brothers, we really didn't talk about it. They knew, but, you know, like, they didn't want to see it. But all
my
friends...
Well, that's understandable. You know, I have three sisters. I mean, I
yeah, it's kind of like, you don't want to look at your sister naked.
I would support them if they did it all the way, but, I mean, yeah, I probably wouldn't want to see the pictures.
No, they didn't want to see the pictures. They're like, no, but their friends would bring over... You know, oh my God, your sister's in Playboy. In fact, I think that's how my brother found out. He's like, what?
What did your brother say to you?
He goes, your sister's a centerfold this month. Look, Jeff. And he opens it up and he's like, holy crap, put that away. He's like, no, I don't want to see that. So, you know, that was kind of funny. It was kind of like, touche. You know, I grew up looking at all these beautiful women. Now, guess what? You know? But, yeah, so it was cool. And my dad, he's very conservative. And we never really talked much about it, but, you know, people have often said things like, oh, are you related to Terry Doss? You know, he gets that a lot, but...
Terry Doss.
He used to say, people used to say to my father, because his name's Robert Doss, they used to say,
oh,
are you related to a Terry Doss? You know, my family got that a lot. And he'd say, yeah. And then they'd say, oh, isn't she in so-and-so? And then he'd be like, oh, yeah. Then he'd be like all proud. But, yeah, everybody was pretty quiet about it.
I mean, you know, I will say this. What I've learned about the people who do Playboy, and actually modeling in general, about wanting to be a Playboy, and I guess your town that you're living in, is that a lot of people want to do it, but it's also very dangerous. I mean,
well, the modeling, just life in general is dangerous, and living in LA especially. But the modeling business is very dangerous.
Yeah, they come out, they say, "Oh, we'll get you to Playboy."
Of course.
And I guess what I'm trying to say is, what advice can you give to someone who wants to do Playboy, but wants to be safe, wants to do it the right way? I mean, what would be
contact
the proper
me.
Way?
Contact me. Honestly, they can contact me. I want these girls to be safe. You know, there's a lot of girls that come out here from small towns, and even girls that have been in the business for years. Like there was, I don't know if you know who Linda Sobeck was. She's a very well-known swimsuit model and a Raiderette. And she'd been in the business for 10 years and did a photo shoot and wound up being murdered by this photographer. And so, you know, it's a very dangerous business. You have to be very careful. And there are a lot of photographers out there that pose as, you know, Playboy scouts and, you know, here, let's shoot you naked and we'll submit these to Playboy. And a lot of times, Johnny, they do. They'll submit the photos, but then they've got all your photos and they've got your negatives and, you know, they make money off of you. And it's just very dangerous. And I think that if there's anyone out there and you're listening and, you know, it's something that you really aspire to do, and I'm sure girls don't go around telling everyone, but email me. I have a MySpace. It's www.myspace.com/TerryLynnDoss, all one word. And it's, you know, I run it, and just email me, and I will certainly be more than happy to, you know, give advice or, you know, get them the interview. What I would recommend is first of all, you don't take your clothes off for anybody, you know, no photographer. And always check out the photographer. And if he says he's with Playboy, call Playboy and ask if they know who he is. But Playboy has open casting calls, and you can actually call their number, girls. Mm-hmm. And they have certain days of the week where they test, and you go in, and you do Polaroids. You just stand, you know, naked from the front, turn around, back, and you fill out like a little resume, you know, kind of profile of yourself. And if you've ever done any kind of nudity in the past, probably not a good idea to, you know, they want to feel like they're the first ones to photograph you nude. You know, it's kind
that
of like
just
the girl next
just
door.
Just out of curiosity, you know, what, before I get to the next question, what is your opinion of other magazines like Penthouse or Hustler?
What's my opinion?
Well, they say that, you know, that Hustler is, of course, a little more extreme than Playboy, you know.
Is Hustler still around?
Yes, it is.
Is Penthouse still around? I heard that Penthouse wasn't. I don't know. My opinion is that I say that, you know, I'm very open-minded, and I think that that's something personally, a personal choice someone makes. And I don't judge anybody. And if some, I would never pose like that. But if someone does, I don't judge them. I know girls that have been Penthouse pets. You know, Janine Lynn Mueller is a beautiful girl. She's very sweet, very smart. She did porn. I mean, I don't judge anybody. Terry Weigel, this is controversial. She was a centerfold and then went and did Penthouse and started doing porn, you know. But, I mean, I'm not here to talk about everybody. But, you know, and then there's Brandi Ledford. She was a Penthouse pet. She's beautiful. I mean, there are beautiful girls that have posed in various magazines that aren't necessarily ones that
I guess the only reason I'm saying it is that...
I think that some of them are not tasteful, honestly.
Right.
I could never put myself in that position. I mean, literally.
Yeah. But, okay, well, this is the next question I have for you. When I go to your MySpace page, and I've gone to your MySpace page about
Johnny and I have been friends for a while, by the way, everybody.
Yeah, we've been friends for a while. So the impression I get of yours is that you're a very spiritual woman, okay? I mean,
really?
This is what I know.
What do you mean by it? What's your definition of that? What do you mean? Thank you, though.
Well, you know, you put up all these sayings. You put up a Robin Williams on your profile, and
Isn't that cool?
You know, it's sort of a it's like a picture of you. You know, the modeling pictures you put up are more of you. Like, I mean, they're beautiful pictures, but they're more of you, like in thought, or you in a
My MySpace page. It just, if you want to know who I am, just go to my MySpace page, because all that stuff is exactly who I am.
And I guess what I'm trying to say is that I would think that if a woman is going to do Playboy, that she does a lot of soul searching before she does it, you know, because it's sort of like, it's
kind of
like... You definitely
need to think about it. Because you know what, it stays with you the rest of your life. I've had, honestly, I would never, we talked the other day and you had asked me if there was anything, if I could do anything different, would I have, you know, maybe not... chosen to do Playboy, you really need to think about it. And I probably should have really thought through it, because you got to think about your future. And what I say by that is, I have kids now. And
I guess what I'm trying to say is, you know, if I had to guess, I would say that you probably did Playboy because you felt that being naked is a celebration of being female, that you felt that it was, I mean, you may not come right out and say it. You mean different words to describe it. But if I had to say that, I would say, based on your MySpace profile, that would be your justification of doing it. I'm not saying it was wrong for you posting Playboy. I'm just saying that it was probably something like that. Would I be accurate in saying that?
You know, I didn't really analyze it, but thinking about it, yeah, it's definitely you know, I'm no Gloria Steinem, but I'm all for just sort of freedom of speech, and I think that the naked body is beautiful if it's portrayed in the right way, in a tasteful way. I didn't do a lot of soul searching, actually.
Well, it's just that, you know, you're
I didn't think about what's going to happen when I have kids and they're teenagers, and you know, what are their friends going to think? And I had no idea that my daughter would get on a bus at age 10 and tell everyone, "Oh my God, I found a magazine and my mom was a Playboy centerfold." And then
the next thing you know,
everybody's saying that I'm a porn star and I'm crying and, you know, I'm hysterically crying.
Well, like, for example, I've seen most of your blogs and they have something soul searching. You know, it's usually something of, oh, this wonderful thought I had. Oh, this, you know.
Madness and
that
genius.
That was what I get from your MySpace. So I would think that someone like
you. She crashed her windshield with her fist and never looked back. All that kind of stuff.
Yeah, something like that. And I guess I got the impression that you were somebody who did all soul searching. Because usually you would think. Well, actually, I'm saying that some people would think that if you asked someone who did Playboy why they would do it, the reason I'm bringing this up.
Why not?
Usually people would think that there would be one of three answers, okay? One, the money. Two, it was a turn on. And three, to get back at their parents.
I think I was getting back at my ex-boyfriend.
What?
A part of me was getting, honestly, this is not a joke. Part of me. First of all, I didn't do it because of this, but when I did it, I was kind of like, I can't wait for him to see my issue, because there was a lot of references that I made in there about him, and it was kind of like, I can't wait for him to see this, you know, because I can be that girl on his wall. And I knew that it was really going to bother him because he had really hurt me. So, you know, I mean, I didn't do it for that reason, but I definitely was, in terms of the spirituality thing, you know, the problem with being a model, Johnny, and just people just seeing you in pictures and not really being able to see you, like to have a conversation with you or to see you live, you know, they kind of form their opinion about you, but they don't really know what's in your heart. That's one thing I didn't like about the modeling business, is that it was all about how you looked.
You know, when I've seen, but I think another thing that I always liked about Playboy, I've sort of come to have a new respect for the magazine in the past few years, is sexiness takes different forms. You know, like when I had Heather Paraso on, and she's kind of like you, she's sort of, she was real, but she was more of a cowgirl. You know, she was somebody who would, like, do these pictures of her out on a farm or, you know, and she judges all these horse races. But
that's cool.
But actually, there is something I do want to talk about. Now, if you feel uncomfortable about this, you can stop me right here, but we did talk about it on the phone recently, and I think you said it was okay to ask you about this, okay?
You can ask me anything. I'm an open book, honestly.
Okay. My understanding is that you have obsessive compulsive disorder.
I have what?
Obsessive compulsive disorder. Is that true?
Oh, all those labels that we have now. OCD. I do. And it's a long story, okay? It all started from I had anxiety as a kid, and I'm not a doctor, but I've been to enough shrinks to know that, you know, how it started, and that I suffered from panic attacks for years, from a little kid, and all those things happen as a result of, you know, post-traumatic stress, which, you know, whether it was your parents divorced or whatever. And some people are really sensitive to those things, and other people can go through life and be fine. For me, it started with panic attacks, and that turned into, later on when my mom died, depression, severe depression, to where I couldn't get out of bed. Oh, and I don't want to cry. I couldn't get out of bed for 6 months. Literally, I don't even remember that year because it was like it was almost as if I was in a coma for a year, and I couldn't get out.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to bring
no,
up.
No. It's okay. I mean, I'm human. My mom came to me in a dream and said, "Get your ass out of bed and go on with your life. We'll deal with the depression later." So I pulled myself out of it, and I had two kids, and I went, "Oh, my God, I'm a mom. Okay, we got to go. Let's go." Packed up my U-Haul, moved back to L.A., got back into my modeling, and the depression, you know, people go on medication. It works for some other people. For me, it never worked. It's a Band-Aid, and depression,
you know,
medications never work. But then it turned into OCD, which is obsessive compulsive disorder.
Right.
And for those of you that know about it, some people...
I have.
You have, yeah, okay. I don't know what yours is like. Like, there's some people that, like, they close the drains, they do, you know, they have to have everything just in a row where they can't, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Are you that, like that? Are you that bad?
Well, what I am, I'll tell you what started it with me, and I finally went to a therapist to figure out what the problem was. When I was 10, I was like the sweetest kid. Everybody loved me. Everybody was crazy about me. I was the sweetest kid. And everybody around me, you know, started saying, "Wait till he becomes a teenager. Wait till he becomes a teenager." You know, because when he becomes a teenager, he's going to come Hellraiser. He's sweet
oh,
now,
kidding.
But wait till he becomes a teenager. Well, it's kind of like this. It's like I was scared of becoming a teenager.
Oh my God, I could totally understand that. Maybe that's
so. What happened was that I went into an OCD. I think that my OCD was a defense mechanism to becoming a teenager. If you'll notice, most of the cases that of people have OCD.
There's various degrees. Some are
very
extreme.
Yeah, but it very rarely will ever happen to an adult. It usually happens when they're young, usually when they're a teenager. That's usually when it offsets.
No,
and
not
it,
for
and
me.
It, what?
No, not for me. How my doctor described it, not to cut you off because I want to hear your story. How my doctor described it is, Terry, this is what happens in the brain. And she went through this whole thing about how, because I said, why is this happening? Why do I freak out when I walk into my closet and things are not organized? It was my closet that I had the problem with. Like, sometimes I could walk in and I could walk away, but other times I'd walk in and I'd just start shaking and I'd have to, like, line up my shoes and nothing could be on the floor. And I said, what's going on with me? Am I going crazy? And she said, it all started... it's in the brain, and it's chemically how this happens. And it started with the anxiety, then it turned to depression, and now it's this. And they're all intertwined. And she said, what's happening really is you don't feel you're in control of your life. And she said, so that's part of it. We need to quiet down your brain, she said, because your brain right now, it's like doing all these things. You're all over the place. And I still am.
Well, I see it as 50-50 brain, 50-50. And the reason is that I'm not somebody who likes to take anything all or nothing when it comes to nature versus nurture. But
wait, say
you
that
know,
again? What did you say?
I'm not, when it comes to the nature versus nurture debate, I'm usually down the middle, 50-50, because I think that one of the best things that you can do for somebody with OCD is sort of acknowledge the fact that they don't like it.
No,
you know?
Yeah, my friends would come over, and I would just start shaking, and I'd say, I got to clean my clothes. They always say, why are you always – they would tease me, and they would call me and play that Eminem song, cleaning out my – about cleaning out his closet. And they said, every time I call you, you can't do something because you're cleaning out your closet. Isn't it clean yet, you know?
No, it's I think what it is. Yeah, and I know how rough it is because
it wasn't
I'm
about the closet. It's about what's going on in your life, and that's what I have.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I don't want to. I'm trying not. I don't want to sound like I'm patronizing you. I'm just saying that.
No, I'm open to talking about it. There's a lot of people that are silently suffering from that.
Yeah, OCD is to me, it's sort of like it's a 50-50 thing, and I look at it as kind of like the best thing that you can do when someone is obsessing is just pat them on the back and say, I'm sorry. I know you don't like it, and
yeah, the worst thing you can do is like tease them about it or say you, not tease them. You know, you can say it in a way like, okay, let's go clean out your closet. But Mike, you know, some people would say, you know, you are just so neurotic, and that makes you even more neurotic.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I just, you know, I think that there are medications that work really well for OCD, and I'm on one, actually, I'm on a medication. Yes, I'm on a medication, everybody. But, and it just helps to quiet down my brain so I don't let those little things bother me.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more about your life. It's more about what's really going on in your life than the closet and the shoes. And at that time, I was not happy in my life, and I felt very unorganized. So, as a result, I had to have everything organized around me. And it's a weird
right.
thing, but it's hey, I'm a human being, and yes, I have flaws, and I have good days and bad days, and just like everyone else, and it's people suffer silently, and that's, you know, on my MySpace page, I just want to say that I put out there who I am, and I've made a lot of really great friends who say thank you, you know, because that's how I feel, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that in this world that we live in and in society, everybody's so worried about, you know, everybody's putting on facades and walking around, and then the next thing you know, oh my God, so-and-so just shot himself. And it's like, you know, you look at people, by the way, in show business. And he's somebody that I know, but like the Owen Wilsons. He walks around, you think he's so funny and happy, but inside he's suffering. He's depressed. So people need to talk more about this so we can all support each other. And that's just how I look at it, you know. You can't suffer in silence because you'll wind up just going crazy.
Yeah, that's, I know. I mean, how
we all have it. You know, we all have our stuff. Some of us just don't want to admit it, and we walk around like, oh, everything's coming up roses. That's bullshit. I'm sorry. Nobody's life is that happy.
I mean, I
am... That's just unrealistic, and I know people that do that, and it really irks me.
Does OCD run in your family?
No. No, there's nothing... No. Mm-mm. No, it doesn't. Neither does depression. All of that is just a result of things that go on in your life, and you just have to just, you know, deal with it and don't give up, you know. Find people that support you, that love you, and giving up is not an option for me, you know. It's just, I just go on and live my life and raise my kids and continue to aspire to have dreams and talk to nice people like you that are human and that don't have a problem, real, you know, talking about you're flawed. I mean, everyone's so worried about what other people think, and I just don't like that. That's not who I am. So, in terms of the soul searching, that came after my mom died, and that's when I went, oh my God, you know what? I'm not going to live forever. Oh my God, I'm not? You know, you think you're immortal when you're young, and I thought, my life is now. I mean, this is like real. And I better start living my life, damn it. And I jumped up out of my bed so fast. And that's just, you know, in terms of religion, I believe in everything. But one thing I do not believe in is that there is not something after this life. I'm spiritual to the degree that I know that there is. I know that there is some other place other than where we are today, that there's more to this life than just this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
My mother communicates with me. I know it's kind of like a ooh, but she does. She comes to me in numbers, and I just know. And it's a very calm thing, and I just, I'm very positive now, and I just...
Have you ever tried to contact your mother?
I know that she's around me. You know, I knew that she was dying. And the thing that she told me is she said, because she lost her father when she was younger. And she said that she woke up one night and she swears he was on the foot of her bed and it scared the crap out of her and we were laughing. And she said, Terry, when I die, she said, I just want you to know, I will never scare you like that, but I'm going to come to you in numbers. And I went, what? And she loved blackjack and she loved bingo, which, as you know, it's all about numbers. So help me God, this is the honest to God's truth, and you might think I'm a total nutcase, but the people that know me know that it's about the clock. And I could be in a car with somebody, and all of a sudden I look over, and I say to them out loud, make a wish. And they go, what? And I'll go, yeah, it's 111, or it's 1111, or it's 1212, or it's 333. That's when I know that my mom's saying, I'm here. Now, how that's pretty unreal, isn't it?
What did you say about 111?
She comes to me a lot in 1111. And isn't that part of the Bible?
What did you say?
1111.
You don't remember what I said to you right before the show.
I'll just look over at the clock, and it'll be 1111. I'm like, hi, Mom. Or I get 1111 and 222 and 333 a lot. And then people say to me, make a wish for what? And I'll go, look, it's 333. And I'm just very in tuned to that. And I think that if you've lost a loved one, you really need to look for signs because...
I don't know if you paid attention to what I told you right before the show.
What time the show was?
No, what your number showed up as.
Stop it. It was all ones. You're right.
Right.
Oh, hi, Mom. Is that our next caller? You asked me if I've ever tried to contact her. I guess she's with us.
Yeah.
I miss you. That's wild. Do you know what? You're right. See, it's the consecutive number thing. So,
yeah.
That's where it comes from. That's wild. Okay, next subject. Wow, we'll talk about that. You call me later on my cell phone. We'll talk about numbers. I can tell you the story.
I know. It's just,
do we have any callers out there? I posted a blog on MySpace and nobody's calling me.
But I think that, you know, we will. We'll get listeners and I'll send you the link. And
so I want to do a radio show. I'm thinking of doing a radio show, everyone. Johnny's inspired me to do that. I think it would be fun.
Really?
Why not? Okay. Why not? It would be fun. Can I just plug my website real quick?
What do you mean?
Can I talk about it?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to say if there's anybody out there listening that I had a website, www.terrylindoss.com and terrydoss.com, and I pulled it down, and I am creating my own site. I took it down for creative reasons, and I wasn't running it, and I just it wasn't what I really wanted. And so I'm creating my own site. I'm doing it myself, and it will be up hopefully the end of this month. And I will have – I'm going to be doing a lot of blogging and writing. It is not a paid site. However, autograph collectors can contact me and, you know, send me my stuff, and I sign things for a fee. But it's going to be a lot of interaction, and it's going to be really cool and fun. And it's going to be it's something that I've been working on a lot, and, you know, it's been kind of fun putting my mind to, you know, writing and just having something that I'm – it's just creatively. It's going to be a lot of fun. So I just wanted to say look for that hopefully by the end of October.
Okay.
And, yeah, so I'm excited. I just wanted to say that because a lot of people are asking me what happened to my website, and – it's just, it's coming back. So there you have it.
Okay, we have a minute left. Is there anything you wanted to say, or?
That's all we have, really?
Yes, that's all we have.
What do I want to say? Well, I just,
it was a lot of fun having you on. It really was.
Thank you. Well, you know, this has been fun. I just want to say that, I am still, you know, I'm still out there. I'm getting myself, and I'm back with my agent, actually, And I'm dedicated. I'm a dedicated mother. I've got two teenage daughters, and that's my number one priority. But you haven't seen the last of me yet. I said you haven't seen the last of me yet. I haven't hung up my swimsuit. Actually, I think women get more beautiful as we get older.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to say that I have a gig, fingers crossed, in Vegas. I was just actually approached to do my own show in Vegas, which I love to sing. It's a passion of mine. And I'm going to be hosting karaoke at a particular casino four nights a week. So that should be fun. We'll have a lot of playmates that will come in and just it'll be my own little show, so I'm really excited, and I'm in negotiations with that. So when that gets up and running, I'll let everybody know. Maybe you'll have me back, and people can come and see me when they're in
Maybe
Vegas.
I can have you back,
Yeah, but I just want to say thank you for having me on the air, and I love
You're
your
welcome.
Show. I've listened to all your interviews, and thanks for the opportunity.
And I'll send you the link. Thanks for coming on, Terry.
Okay. See you later, Johnny.
Bye-bye.